So today, we're looking at the concept of true leadership. People who can be relied upon to teach you the right stuff. And our scripture is 2 Corinthians 11, 1-15. I wish you would put up with a little foolishness from me. Yes, do put up with me, for I am jealous over you, with a godly jealousy, because I promise you in marriage to one husband, to present a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds may be seduced from a complete and pure devotion to Christ. For if a person comes and preaches another Jesus, whom you did not preach, or you received a different spirit which you had not received, or a different gospel which you had not accepted, you put up with it splendidly. Now I consider myself in no way inferior to the super apostles. Though untrained in public speaking, I'm certainly not untrained in knowledge. Indeed, we have always made that clear to you in everything. Or did I commit a sin by humbling myself so you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge. I robbed other churches by taking pay from them to minister to you. While I was present with you and in need, I did not burden anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my needs. I've kept myself and will keep myself from burdening you in any way. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Acacia. Why? Because I don't love you? God knows that I do. But I will continue to do what I'm doing in order to deny the opportunity of those who want an opportunity to be regarded just as our equal in what they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no great thing if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their destiny will be according to their works. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help me to explain it. Guide us in all we do. Help us to be close to you and to know when we're listening to you and when we're listening to the wrong people. In Jesus' name, amen. So, there were many leaders, quote-unquote, leaders, coming to the Corinthians. Corinth was a big city. It was some place that was very important. And one of the things I discovered when I first got into church planting was that there were a lot of people in church planting who wanted to be in a church and wanted to have been a pastor. And then after they'd been a pastor for 2 or 3 years, they began trying to find a bigger church to get called to. And if they get called to there, they try to find a bigger church than that to get called to. And the whole idea was to keep moving up, which is not the way it's supposed to be done. But these people were people like that. They were trying to say, oh, we're the ones who know all the stuff. And so you want us in your big church because, you know, we're the guys. Some were challenging Paul's authority. They're saying, oh, Paul doesn't preach very well. Paul doesn't. But Paul did not want the people to be led astray by somebody who was creating a cult of personality. Pat will tell you, I have spent a lot of time in the last 13 years trying to be sure that egoing never became a cult of personality. Because there were a lot of people who came to Christ because of my preaching and stuff, and who were listening to me and learning from me And I didn't want anybody to think that I am important. Jesus is important. I do what I do for Jesus. So having a cult of personality is not a good idea in a church. Not only this, but there was deception going on. He compares the Corinthian church to Eve back in the Garden of Eden. She was deceived by clever speech, and he says, you're being deceived by clever speech. And you'll see in a minute why that was a problem. Because they're following a different gospel than Paul had preached. Now, once again, this is people who come along and say, I have new insights. It's not that I'm saying something different. I'm telling you more. Well, that more kind of moves you off to the side and away from the direction you ought to have been going. So Paul, though he doesn't want to do it, begins to defend his authority. He says he's not inferior to super apostles, the people who are, oh, you know, we're the big shots here. If you think back over TV preachers and people who've really moved up, you can see that there is a definite division. There are people who were preaching on TV and send me money, send me money, send me money. And their whole idea was to get money. That was all of it. And then there are other people that are like Greg Laurie. Adrian Rogers was like this. Billy Graham, Franklin Graham. It's like, just call us, we'll send you a Bible, and we'll talk to you, and we'll give you all the help you want. And they're not asking for money. Now, what they do is they find people like me and Pat, and they say, can you send us money? Because we need to find these people. But they don't want money to come between people and Jesus. So I don't mind when they ask me, can you give us money? If I can, I do. If I can't, well, I say, okay, I don't have the money right now. And they never question it. The super apostles are, in fact, associating with real apostles, but teaching false doctrine. What they did was they went to the Jerusalem church. We had the upper reaches of the baby church of Jesus. And they began to say, oh, I'm a buddy with James or Peter or this or whatever, you know. And so they said, oh, look at me. I'm something. I'm such a much. And they say that Paul is not trained in public speaking. Well, I'm not trained in public speaking. Really, I have been trained as an occupational instructor, but I'm not trained in public speaking. I, in fact, preach because I take one step back and say whatever God tells me to say. Sometimes this upsets Pat, because she thinks that, you know, maybe that's a little weird, Walter, but, you know, the whole thing is that as long as you're saying what God wants, the word will get out. You don't have to be this flowery speaker.
Is there somebody upstairs?
I don't know. I think Pat thinks there is.
No, we still have lunch on Mondays.
But Paul is highly trained in doctrine. We see as we read through all of his various things that he had been in the teaching of the greatest teachers in Jerusalem. Grew up as a Pharisee. Learned from Gamaliel, who was one of the great rabbis of the time, and all this kind of stuff. But the point is that that's the way that that rabbis work, is they don't necessarily speak flowery things. They tell you what the Bible says. And you have to know what the Bible says. And of course, at this point, we're talking about the Old Testament. Because there was no New Testament yet. At the time Paul was going around, nobody had written a gospel yet. The first one actually was written in approximately 45 AD. And that was by Mark. And as people get mad because I say it was quick and dirty. Mark wanted to get this out and get the essence of the gospel in it. Matthew then took that, and a few years later, he put out his gospel, which was based on Mark. That's why it seems so similar. But it had much more of the actual history and of Jesus, because Matthew was there at the time. And then Luke came later, of course, and he took both of those and all these other things, and he went out, and he was a doctor. So he was very precise in gathering. That's why, actually, Luke, we talk about that Paul wrote most of the books in the New Testament, but by words, Luke wrote more than half of the New Testament, because he has Luke, which is the biggest gospel, and Acts, which was what came after the gospels, and so all the rest was just like teaching and so on by various people. But the idea here is being trained in doctrine is more important than being trained in public speaking. Yeah. I've had a lot of people when I've been in church planting who said, "What seminary did you go to?" And then they look down on me when I tell them I didn't go to seminary. The problem is that I get my back up about this because I learned from the greatest theologian I ever heard of, my dad, who knew the Bible cover to cover because he just kept studying it over and over again. And he taught me to do that. So I've studied it over and over. And that's the point that I've always tried to get out to people. Pat will tell you, my great love is the Word of God and studying the Word of God. I always try to get people reading the Bible. Keep reading the Bible. And when somebody says, "What about this, that, or the other thing?" I very usually tell them, look up this. Perhaps, usually it'll be like an epistle. Oh, it's in Ephesians. Read all of Ephesians. It's not that big, so don't worry about it. But he's highly trained. He's a student of rabbis. And he was called directly by Jesus. He's riding up, he's working for the other side, and Jesus knocked him off his horse with a bolt of light. And he says, "Paul, I want you to learn about me and go teach people about me." And so that got his attention. And ever after, you watch a series, if you get the historical line of his epistles in order, you'll see that he started out, he's looking down at himself. "Oh, I'm a terrible person. I persecuted the church." And then he gets better. "But I kind of know some stuff." And then eventually he gets to the point where he says, "I've gotten close enough to Jesus. You need to follow me until you can get a clear enough view of Jesus to follow him yourself." And that is what I've always tried to do. He was instructed by revelation. Now, this is one of those things where people say, "Well, now, wait a minute, anybody in the world could show up and say, I got a revelation." Well, in the Old Testament, it tells you how to evaluate prophets, people who have revelations. And if you take Paul and you evaluate what he claims as revelations, they always meet the test. Always. And so, Jesus was talking to Paul. Why? Because Paul would listen. Paul was very embarrassed about being a persecutor of the church. So when Jesus talked to him, he was ready to accept whatever Jesus told him to do. And then he went out and told people, this is what Jesus wants. Another way that you told these bad guys was their means of support. The standard at the time was to be supported by whatever church you went to minister in. Still is, pretty much. There's a place where in Exodus where it says, don't muzzle an ox if it's treading out grain. Which is to say, the Easterner chomping on the grain as he's going along, right? But he's working. And so he gets the grain for the work he's doing. Don't worry. And so this was used by the apostles and so on to say that, as Paul put it, those whose profession was the gospel should be supported by the gospel. But you don't ever make it that that's the requirement. I'm not going to minister to you if you don't give me money. Now, I have been in churches where somebody has said, if I don't get more money, I'm going somewhere else. My first thought in every instance was, well, please do, as fast as possible. You know, you just kind of disqualified yourself. But Paul supported himself. He was a tent maker. And he supported himself. Now, one of the things that happens here, we were very worried about me becoming a pastor. Would there be enough money coming in to support that? I had the great worry because at the time this church started, I was still working at Microsoft. And I'm spending all my time working to make money, and I need time to go and try to build the church. And God was telling me, don't worry about it, Walter. And so, eventually, things all fell together financially for me. And I looked up and I said to Pat, we're neither one of us working. We're retired. And yet we've got enough money. This church gives me a small housing allotment and so on, but they don't pay me. That's okay. I don't care. I do. If you wanted to pay me, well, I'll take it right away. But, you know, I don't ever, you know, put it that I preach because you pay me. I'd almost be ready to pay, Pat, I'll tell you, I've said this before. I would almost pay you to let me preach. When it's in you, it's got to get out. And so God called me to preach. And, you know, if I go preach and people give me an honorarium, a little bit of money, I never even open it. I just put it in my pocket. Whatever it is, we'll put it in the bank when I get home. I'm not worried about it. I will not question it. I've had people say, is this enough? I said, sure. How do you know? You didn't look. It's okay. Okay? I preach for God, not money. And, you know, thank you very much. I appreciate your donation to me and my ministry. But it's not because of you're paying me that I'm doing this. But that's one of the things about these false teachers. They wanted more and more money. They bring in lots of money so you can pay me. Paul says, no, I support myself. Sometimes large churches voluntarily gave to him, like the ones in Macedonia and so on that he's talking about, where they sent him money. And they said, you're going to little churches, they can't support you, here's money. Be sure to get the gospel out to these people, and we'll make sure you're taken care of. But that was voluntarily by them. That was not him saying, you have to give me money or I'm not going to do this. We have missionaries and Southern Baptists that go all around the world. The cooperative program is the best way to support a missionary there is. Every missionary I've ever known has said that. But the whole point of this is, there are missionaries out there who don't know if money's coming or not, but they're still there preaching. These other ministry organizations and so on who don't have what we as the Southern Baptists created, the great wisdom to say we will take thousands of little churches with a little bit of money from each one and we'll get it together and we'll support those missionaries, and they always know they're taken care of. Not because they said, I won't go if you don't pay me, but because we said, if you go, we guarantee we'll take care of you. That's just the way it is. The difference is, This differentiates us from the false leaders, the people who want money to do what they do, and we do it because God said to do it. And there's a difference. So then Paul decides he's going to let them have a blast. And so he begins denouncing the false apostles. Now, we believe that they were probably advocates for various heresies. Gnosticism, Manichaeanism. I won't get into what these things are. They're just little tweaky things, but they're enough to get you away. Gnosticism says only certain people can be saved because only certain people can know God. We get the Gnostics because they know. And we have agnostics, which are the most honest non-Christians you see, because they will tell you, I don't know. Agnostic. Don't know. And so we say, you know, you're an honest person. Let's talk about this. Let me explain to you and see if God does not reveal himself to you. I can take an agnostic and lead him to Christ much easier than somebody who is a determined atheist, because an atheist will swear there is no God and I don't want to talk about it. I have to hit them with the famous Pascal's wager. If you're wrong, you're going to be looking square in the face of an angry God. If I'm wrong, I won't even know it. And I've had several people go, I hadn't thought about that. Maybe I ought to investigate this. But at any rate, they were self-appointed, but they had deceived the Jerusalem church to give them letters of introduction. They said, we're apostles. Nobody else ever did. But they had letters of introduction because they had fooled the people in Jerusalem into thinking, hey, these are good guys who are going to go out and preach the word. Like Satan, they disguised themselves. We're these good guys, and we're going to go out. And once again, I always ping on TV preachers because there's been a lot of them, like Jimmy Swaggart and so on like that. And it turns out, behind the scenes, they were playing very fast and loose, and they weren't playing fair. So, they get theirs in the end, Paul says. Don't worry. His main point was not to say, oh, let's whack these guys. He was just saying, don't listen to them. If you don't hear what I taught you, don't listen to these people. So what is this? What does this mean to us? Well, today we have people who claim extra insight. I get into this a lot. People have new and better ways. We are a part of what was called the SEND Network from Southern Baptist. This is a new and better way to spread the gospel. No, it's not. It's actually just a twisted version of the original going out and starting a church by mission. When I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, every Baptist church, Southern Baptist church, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is a pretty big city, every one of them was started either by First Baptist Church or Crestview Baptist Church. And Crestview Baptist Church was started by First Baptist Church. So you have the West, First Baptist, the East, Crestview. And they just started sending people out from them. And nobody else was sending out churches. Well, Crestview started talking to all of their missions and saying, you need to be starting missions. I'm not going to tell you you need X number. I'm saying, every now and again, you need to get three or four people and go somewhere. Or if you have people in a distant area that's the farthest away from your church, go there and start another church. Whatever. It was working great. Then they got this church planting, SEND Network, and all this. And suddenly, we wanted Baptist Church on every corner of every city in the United States. We don't need that. We need churches where they don't have them.
Yeah.
Okay? I have a friend who, what he wants is, there's a place up in the hills, and I can't remember what it's called, something or other falls up there. And he keeps telling me, Walter, you need to come up here. They need decent preachers here. These people are whack jobs. And so I go, okay, I'd like to do that, but I don't want to leave Eagle Wing. But that's where Send Networks needs to send people, is to places that they don't have churches, so that they can get some. The gospel has never changed. Never. What Jesus said and the way Jesus led people to faith is exactly the way we do it right now. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Guess what? He was not wrong. You lead people to Jesus exactly the same way Jesus did. Now, we may have things like they were using the thing about grab them by the shirt and shake them and say, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven if you died right now? And try to scare them. I had a pastor one time who said, and it's understandable, because they were saying, don't scare the kids in school. And he said, I'm so glad that a pastor scared the hell out of me instead of trying to pump Christ into me. Because when he got scared, he said, I'm in trouble. What do I do? And it's like, let me tell you what to do. Right? So that can work. But it's not as good. And Bill Bright was sent by God to tell us how to do it. And he said, God loves you and he has a plan for your life. Let me explain why you're not following the plan. Force Pusher Law is the greatest thing that was ever done. I'm sure Bill Bright's got huge crowns in heaven right now because of that. Millions and trillions of people probably have been led to Christ with the Four Spiritual Laws because it explains the gospel very concisely, very quickly. But it's never changed. We've led people to Christ the same way through all the millennia. Paul was appointed to minister to this particular group. And so that's what he was doing. The other ones were not. Today we have ministers who are also God appointed. Now the way you tell if they're not is if they promote Jesus or themselves. Greg Laurie is famous all over the world. But he don't want to tell you about Greg Laurie. He wants to tell you about Jesus. Franklin Graham, same thing. Let me tell you about my friend Jesus. Adrian Rogers was the greatest preacher anybody ever heard. They actually had a nickname for him, the Prince of Preachers. But you never heard anybody say, oh, you need to, you know, listen to Adrian Rogers. It was, you need to learn about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. And he walked into a little church that was closing in Merritt Island, Florida, had 49 members. And when I got there, 5 years later, it was 4,900 and growing because he told people he would be in a full suit, barefoot, going out on the beach to talk to surfers. And they said, you sit here talking to me, I'm in baggies and a surfboard. And he said, that's okay, you need to know Jesus, son. You know, that's what he cared about. If they promote themselves, you need to worry about them. If they're promoting Jesus, that's what they were told to do. Another way is to see if they serve to please Jesus or if they serve to get money. If they're worried about money more than they are about, if I needed money, if I was in bad shape and I couldn't be your pastor because I need money, I wouldn't tell you guys. I'd call Puget Sound Baptist Association, Northwest Baptist Convention, and say, look, I've got a ministry here. I'm doing moderately well, and I'm getting running out of money. I need you to give me some support. I wouldn't ask you. I'd ask the people who are supposedly sending me. Okay? As it happens, this is not working out, because just like God said, and as my buddy Bud always said, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Don't worry about it. And we still can't figure out whether it keeps being money in our checking account. It just keeps appearing. I don't know.
It doesn't just keep appearing. Certain people just keep giving.
Keep putting it in, yes. Right. Deceivers will be dealt with by God. If you see somebody, you may want to tell people, don't listen to this guy. He's a whack job. But you don't need to worry about them, because God will take care of them. Okay? So thanks for being here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have sent people into the world to teach people about you. Now, some of them are like my dad, who spent his life teaching those around him. Some of them are like me, who have a small church that you've called me to. And some do big stuff because you appointed them to do that. But the point is, it must always be for you. Guide us, Lord, to follow you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.